CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution to look at the Supreme Court decisions being passed down. A number of them are great to discuss. Over the years, Richard has introduced me to major themes. One of them now in front of us is the theme of takings clause in the Constitution. Richard's written a book about this that informs, and I have the book, and I recommend the book because it will very carefully identify the differences on this Supreme Court right now, this Roberts Court, not just the past but the present, about takings and what is the authority of the government to regulate, to take a private property, to actually enter private property. The case at hand, just passed down by the Supreme Court, is Cedar Point versus Hasid, decided 6-3. However, that does not begin to tell the story of how Justice Roberts wrote the majority decision. We need to go to 1978, Penn Central Transportation Company versus City of New York. Richard, a very good evening to you. You prepared me for this, and now I ask you, what in Penn Central is important to note in the new Justice Roberts decision of Cedar Point? Good day to you.
Okay, well, the first point to make about the Penn Central case and Justice Roberts is he has repeatedly affirmed that particular decision as doing the appropriate way to deal with certain kinds of things known as regulatory takings. The definition of a regulatory taking is something that doesn't put you in possession of property, but what it does is it limits the way in which you could use the property and the way in which you can dispose of the property. And the Supreme Court, through Justice Brennan, had adopted a rule which says you trade off the private against the public interest, and when you watch the way those trades tend to move in case after case, it turns out that the public interest in the character of the neighborhood turns out to be more important than the private interest in the use and development of particular property. And so it's not a per se rule of legality as against the takings clause, but it's very much a long step in that direction. 4 years later, the Supreme Court decided a case called Loretto against Teleprompter, and this was a situation, very prosaic, in which it turned out that the New York state law authorized a company to put a cable box on the roof of a private apartment house. And what happened is this is a physical invasion. And so the question then came as to whether or not there was a justification in the form of general regulation, which meant that you could put that box on top of the roof and not pay any compensation. Justice Marshall, who was a liberal at the time, said, no, this is a physical invasion. He called it a permanent invasion, even though it is not, because cable boxes last 5 years or whatever. And therefore, it's a per se rule on compensation, which means that even if the government didn't go in itself but just authorized the taking, they have to pay unless there are a very narrow class of defenses that you can deal with, typically having to do with health and safety. He sensed that he was in very delicate water, however, because what he also exempted from his particular situation were things like rent control statutes, even though the standard rent control statute authorizes a tenant at the government's behest to stay on somebody's property in a permanent kind of way. But he had this notion that there is Penn Central and there is Loretto, but there turns out to be an area in the middle. And so when Justice Roberts gets this case, the Chief Justice gets this case, what he does is he sees a situation in which the California Labor Commission...
Let me lay out the issues of Cedar Point. The California Board, Labor Relations Board, decreed, I follow Richard's reporting, that labor union representatives were entitled to enter an employer's property for 3 hours per day for 120 days per year to solicit union support. That's the question. Is that takings? Please continue, Richard.
Yeah, so it's a great question. This was done in 1975, so this has been around a long time. And it clearly authorizes a physical invasion in this case. And the government under the Trump administration decided that it would say that the Loretto case held under these circumstances because it was continuous in the sense that it would go on and on and on. There was no end to it. The Biden administration actually pulled that, saying it's not continuous under these circumstances because it's only 3 hours a day for 120 days a year. So what you do is you have the usual administrative split. But what Justice Roberts then decided is that this turns out to be not a Penn Central case involving, quote, the use of property, but a physical invasion case to which the laws of a per se taking start to apply. And so essentially what he said is that the only way you could get them there, at least thus far, is essentially to pay just compensation. What he didn't talk about, but which is clearly lurking in the background, is the whole Kelo line of cases. Can you say that if this is a taking, you pay just compensation, you're fine, because it's for public use? Now you have a serious question. Is somebody who gets in the land to organize their own union doing this for the public, or are they doing it for themselves? And I suspect sooner or later somebody's going to come back and say, Kelo, as broad as it was, doesn't allow this particular situation to exist. And then if you say this about what's going on in the takings area and the situation with labor unions, you have to ask the same question. What's going to happen to Loretto's very rickety intellectual structure? Insofar as it said that the rent control should not be regarded as a physical taking, but, quote, a mere regulation of use covered by
Penn Central. Richard, I want you to state, what is Kelo? What do we need to know about the Kelo decision?
Kelo is the little pink house case, and this was a situation not dissimilar to many other cases that happened, in which what the government does is to have a comprehensive land use plan for Connecticut, and Ms. Kelo had a house. And even though she had done nothing wrong, and even though the government couldn't figure out what they wanted to do with her land, it was held that they could take it for public park purposes and move her out of her house and then eventually move the house off of the land because a real estate development in Connecticut was regarded as a public use. And that case gave rise to a huge storm, left and right, of people saying, why are you throwing people out of houses in order to help others do it? Justice Stevens wrote the majority opinion in that particular case, was promptly excoriated for by just about everybody, kind of lamented afterwards, at which he may have made a mistake. Justice O'Connor wrote a pretty impassioned dissent, but she had to get rid of her own previous cases. So that case basically stormed a closet revolution. And it turned out many states and a lot of courts, all of them decided to rethink what is a public use in order to narrow. And there was a left-right denunciation of the case. In this particular case, you have the same problem. You're authorizing people to go on land, but the unions, of course, strong on this. And so the general reaction from the American left is the labor accommodations go back a very long way. Trespass rules were suspended in the case of workers as far back as 1945. Union representatives get some leeway under the statute going back as far as 1956 and so forth. You're just blowing this thing up, and you're cheating on the previous precedent. So they're saying stare decisis, and the court saying, no, well, here's Loretto, here's the basic principle, and we are going to stick with that. It's no question that they certainly move fast and furious on this particular thing, but the whole intellectual structure that you started with was completely rickety. Because as Justice Roberts said, suppose what you do is you're the government, and you come in and you decide to take somebody's land for 6 months. It's not a permanent taking, but you have to pay compensation for it. And the answer is yes, you treat it like a six-year lease or a six-month lease, and you pay rent every month for the time that you're in there. And that was established early on. So he's saying you got to do exactly the same thing. The point, however, is he still has that public use problem, because the earlier cases were situations where you took property for government efforts during the war.
Richard, is it significant that this involves a regulatory agency, the California Labor Relations Board, and therefore the original decision proceeded from the fact that the California state had sovereignty here, and it was not asking to take possession of the land. It was regulating when unions can organize for a public purpose.
Well, or for a union purpose, that's a big debate, of course. Well, the answer is that this statute was absolutely unquestioned before this thing particularly came up. And what's further interesting about it is there was a way that you could have basically chastised the union without blowing up the earlier structure. Well, what happened is the union came on, and its behavior was pretty obnoxious. They started using bullhorns and engaged in intimidation. That's beyond the scope of the grant that was given by the California Labor Relations Board. But nobody seemed to want to talk about those issues, even though they're in the background. And so what you do is you have this very strange tension. As a matter of first principle, the Chief Justice, in my view, is clearly right that this falls under Loretto. He's clearly wrong to think that Penn Central was rightly decided. From the point of view of the modern labor movement, it turns out that the old synthesis has been completely shut up. And he has violated all the precedents that were on the books, which he surely did. And so what you do is you're going to have a huge fight on this. But since it's a constitutional decision, you can't, quote unquote, fix this by dealing with matters of legislation or new regulation.
I want to move to the dissent, Richard, when we come back, because Justice Breyer, Justice Stephen Breyer, has written a dissent in which he cites Loretto, I believe, and introduces other cases that are critical here to understand why it is that the Biden administration was so swift to enter an opinion. You note that the acting Solicitor General, Elizabeth Prelogar, wrote a short letter to the Supreme Court withdrawing the Trump administration brief. So when we come back, Justice Breyer's observation of the case Cedar Point versus Hasid, now decided 6-3 in the Supreme Court of Justice Roberts Supreme Court. This is CBS Eye on the World with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Besh.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.